All right, well, this has been an amazing week of news. Whew. I mean, perhaps a generational week of news in terms of its impact. The kind of news that has the ability, really, to become a landmark in time. President Trump chose to launch an attack on Iran's nuclear facilities. And that, my friends, is a generational, impactful news story. Look, steady hands, keen eyes, a strong concentration, those are what's needed to thread a tiny needle with a tiny piece of thread. But try threading a needle in the midst of stormy winds. And that, my friends, is the essence of diplomacy. And then you throw in a rogue nuclear state, and now you are really threading a needle in high winds. So yeah, in the middle of everything, social media is as a buzz right now. Discussions of war, influencers are influencing, politicians are politicking, so-called neocons are calling for military intervention, isolationists are claiming there's never a just cause for war. Somewhere in the middle, though, are the actual decision makers, the ones who bear the burden of threading the needle. In the end, though, I'll be honest with you, it's the pundits and the politicos that are not the ones that history will judge. They're not. It's the decision makers. Toward the end of the 19th century, Alfred Nobel, he was shocked to read his own obituary in the newspaper. Can you imagine? He woke up one morning, was reading the paper, and it said that he had died. He's reading it. It said, "The merchant of death is dead. Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, who died yesterday, devised a way for more people to be killed in a war than ever before, and he died a very rich man." Well, it was actually Alfred's older brother who had died, but the paper's error had a dramatic impact on Nobel himself. He went on to say later, he said, "Every man ought to have a chance to correct his epitaph in midstream and write a new one." Nobel said also, that moment became the inspiration for his Nobel Prize. So yeah, Alfred Nobel, he determined to thread the needle. He could not control that what he intended for good might also cause harm. But he determined to promote the more positive aspects of what some were chastising him for. Which brings us back to today. President Trump right now is in the unenviable position of threading the diplomacy needle in storm winds. He has made very clear for over a decade he will not abide a nuclear Iran. He's made equally clear he has a great distaste for protracted war. And I'll be honest with you, America is jaded with war. An entire generation of Americans grew up in the post-9/11 world with U.S. troops always fighting on foreign soil. There's a genuine and understandable fatigue with the idea of perpetual war. Americans deserve peace. We want peace. But we have rarely known extended periods of peace. As a third-generation war veteran myself, I don't want to see another ground war in my lifetime. But we just watched military recruiting numbers soar. We saw the President of the United States himself recite the oath of enlistment to U.S. soldiers at the Army 250 parade. Recruits and soldiers all swearing in. They didn't raise their right hand to serve because they don't believe in the need to have a strong military. And Americans also know, by the way, that strength of arms is the most capable means of deterrence, but it is also sometimes a hammer that has to strike. If the storm winds are blowing, then you gotta do what you gotta do. The storm needle is being threaded right now by President Trump. It's the same storm needle that's been threaded by every president since George Washington. But like I said, though, this is the kind of news we're seeing that creates a landmark in time, the kind that actually has the ability to turn the course of world events in a different direction. So let's talk about it in a little bit here. Let's talk about the what, and then I'll talk about the why. The what is called Operation Midnight Hammer. In sports terms, Operation Midnight Hammer would be a blowout victory. In Wall Street terms, it would be a definitive, you know, everything up. In politics, it would be a win without a runoff. But in the slang of soldiers on the battlefield, oh yeah, Operation Midnight Hammer, the U.S. just brought the scunion. I love that word. I don't know why. I'm not sure why I love it. I just do. It sort of like encapsulates the sense that something came down hard and strong and decisive. Scunion. Rumor has it the word scunion, by the way, was a word that came into the military lexicon back in Vietnam. It meant that you were laying down the heat on the enemy, no letting up, and all the way until the decisive win was in the bag. Scunion. Well, the Ayatollah under Operation Midnight Hammer just felt the scunion. And I got to be honest with you, I've seen scunion. I sat on my fob once in central Baghdad back during the first Shia uprising in 2004, watching a Spectre gunship just raining down fire and brimstone on the north side of an area called Sadr City. It was nighttime. We could hear Spectre overhead, but we could only see him with night vision. We literally got out lawn chairs. No kidding. Got out lawn chairs and night vision goggles, and we watched as the heat rained down in the form of 25-millimeter Gatling guns, 40-millimeter Bofors repeating cannons, and 105-millimeter howitzer, just bringing overwhelming precision fire from way up in the nosebleed sections. I don't know what they were targeting, but whatever it was, it didn't stand a chance. It was apparent that Spectre was bringing the scunion, and that's exactly what it was. Strong, decisive, final, without equivocation. And what we saw with Operation Midnight Hammer was scunion in spades. The U.S. launched, like I said, what is now known as Operation Midnight Hammer. Even the name says scunion. Seven B-2 stealth bombers flew over 37 hours straight, refueling in flight, I believe, three times. Over 125 U.S. aircraft total participated in the operation. Everything from refueling tankers, fighter escorts, drones, intelligence surveillance, target acquisition, all of it. U.S. naval assets in the Gulf, they launched 24 Tomahawk cruise missiles. The missiles were actually timed to coincide with the arrival of the B-2s over station, each of which of those B-2s carried a pair of 15-ton GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrators, the MOPs, a.k.a. bunker busters. Well, the Iranian nuclear sites at Fordo and Natanz and Isfahan have been allegedly devastated. And of serious note here is the fact that not a single U.S. warplane or asset came under fire. In fact, they didn't receive warning of radar detection. Our assets flew with impunity into Iranian airspace, dropped their payloads, and then returned to base. And that, my friends, is scunion of the highest order. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said no other country on planet Earth could have pulled off this operation. And he's right. The technology, the skill, the assets, the warriors, nobody has what we have. And I do not take that for granted. But there are those who disagree with this effort. There are those who are of the belief that a nuclear capable of Iran posed no real security threat to the U.S. It couldn't be in our national interest because we weren't officially at war with Iran, they say. Trump needs congressional approval for something like this, they say. Iran was just being Iran, they say. Just a bunch of rhetoric. We don't ever need to fire the first shot, they say. All fighting is bad, they say. We're just tired of the shooting, they say. Okay, all of that's being said right now. I just told you the what. Operation Midnight Hammer. 125 warplanes, 24 Tomahawk cruise missiles, scunion. But that was the what. All those things I just told you about that people are complaining about, in order to get past those, you have to understand the why. So let's break it down. First of all, I will say this. Every president is authorized under Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution to defend the U.S. and U.S. persons against actual or anticipated attacks. It does not require a full-scale declaration of war to mobilize military assets as the commander-in-chief to strike at the enemy of the state. Reagan, he didn't obtain congressional approval to invade Grenada. Bush, he did not obtain congressional approval to invade Panama. Obama, he did not obtain congressional approval for the raid to take out bin Laden. Each of those was a limited scope action requiring presidential authority only for the use of military force. George W. Bush, he did seek and obtain approval from Congress before he invaded both Afghanistan and Iraq, but those were also different circumstances. Those were large-scale mobilizations, those were long-term operations, and those had a far more logistical, strategic, and impactful and length of time aspect to them. Okay, that's part of the why, but part of the why also involves history. Let's consider who Iran is. Let's consider what Iran has done. First of all, I'll say this, a nuclear Iran would be a destabilizer on the world stage. History tells us that. It's a danger to the U.S. and our allies. Make no mistake, Iran has been killing U.S. troops and fomenting discord and supplying terrorists for decades. The Ayatollahs have made very clear that one of their chief aims is to damage or destroy the U.S. and to wipe out Israel. In 2023, by the way, the Ayatollah Khomeini announced that death to America was not just a slogan. He said it was the actual policy of their government. A policy. Death to America. Not just a bumper sticker over there. It's a policy of their government. When your enemies tell you what they want to do to you, there's no wisdom in ignoring them. Iran, by the way, has also been killing U.S. troops, fomenting discord, and like I said, supplying terrorists for decades. Keep in mind, in 1979, 52 Americans were taken hostage within mere months of the Ayatollah seizing power. That's right. He took power, and within months, they didn't just, oh, by the way, pick up some American tourists off the street. You had radical Islamist followers of the Ayatollah invade a U.S. embassy, which is considered to be sovereign soil of our nation, and seize 52 Americans, and then parade them in front of cameras blindfolded and keep them for 444 days. 4 years later, 1983, 241 Marines were killed in the Beirut barracks bombing. Iran was implicated in that too. Just prior to 9/11, 17 U.S. sailors were killed and 40 more wounded in the USS Cole attack. Iran was implicated in that one. And I'll tell you right now, my experience of being overseas in Iraq, over 600 U.S. troops were killed by Iranian influence in Iraq. They call them EFPs, explosive force projectiles. It's like a Canon IED roadside bomb that can shoot right through armor. We know for a fact that roughly 603 U.S. soldiers died because of the Iranian influence that helped train the militias to build EFPs, maybe even supplied them with the parts to do it. But some estimates believe that's over 1,000. And just the other day, I heard General Jack Keane providing some commentary on Fox News. He said that he had a conversation once with General Lloyd Austin, the former Secretary of Defense, who told him that he'd seen the numbers, but he believed that it was closer to 2,000 U.S. service members killed by Iranian influence in Iraq. If in fact Iran achieved its dream of becoming a nuclear power with their history, what do you think they would do with it? Would they just sit back and smile and feel good about themselves? Would they use it for world peace? Would they be satisfied with just having a nuke, just having it, just want to have it? The answer to all that is no. Their history dictates they are violent, and their history dictates they are willing to kill our people. A nuclear Iran would be an immediate threat to the United States, and it would be a threat to regional stability. Saudi Arabia, by the way, who hates Iran? Saudi Arabia has already said, Crown Prince Abdullah said in an interview just a couple of years ago, they would not sit idly by. They would put all of their boundless resources into developing and or acquiring nuclear weapons themselves. So yeah, bad actors on the world stage, I guarantee you, they'd be negotiating with the Ayatollahs to buy nukes on the black market just by the next day. The Ayatollahs, by the way, who have sold every missile, gun, and drone that the Houthis and Hezbollah and Hamas have ever fired, they would only be too glad to be courted as the chief supplier of nuclear arms to the evil influences that hate America worldwide. But let's also consider not just the history of what Iran has done as part of the why. Let's also consider their motivations. You see, they don't respond to things the same way. They are not normal in their ability to be dealt with diplomatically. They do not respond purely on economics. They are not a nation much like the Cold War era of the Soviet Union and the United States. They stared at each other across the borders and went into detente because of mutually assured destruction. They don't care about that. In fact, destruction is part of their aim. Why do I say that? Well, the things that implicate and create the decisions that they make are driven by their extreme Shia faith. The Shia extremists who run Iran come from a radical position that involves a belief that the Savior will return. They call him the 12th Imam. The Savior will return to them. They call him the Mahdi, the 12th Imam, to restore peace to the world, which sounds nice, right, when you hear it that way? Until you realize that the radicals of Iran's Shia leadership, they believe they can usher in the return of their Savior. They can usher in the return of the 12th Imam by creating massive destruction of the world order. In essence, they believe that chaos, destruction, warfare, and bloodshed, those are man-made catalysts that can cause their lost Savior to suddenly appear and reward them for their efforts. So yeah, it's more than just a calculated power grab. It's more than just a country desiring to be on par with other countries. It's more than just the idea of Iran wishing to have influence in the region or the world at large. The radical 12ers, they call them, the 12th Imam, the radical 12ers of the Iranian ruling theocracy, they want to cause destruction in a spiritual sense. It's an overarching, deep-rooted hatred of peace that they believe will help them obtain peace. These are not rational people. They're sick at heart, and they wanted a nuke. And that's a bad, bad, bad combination. So I'm giving you the information you need for not just the what happened, Operation Midnight Hammer, bringing the Scunion. I'm trying to give you the why. Why did it have to happen? The why is their history, the why is their politics, and the why is their radical beliefs. And everything I just said is true. The history, the spiritual radicalism, no one can deny it. Iran has been an evil empire now for 4 decades. They have acted on their evil intent. Naysayers and isolationists, they know the things I've just described are true. They have to choose to either disregard it, but they can't deny it. So yes, in a generational moment, Trump chose to not allow the Iranian nuclear program to continue. And now we are also working as a nation to ensure that our own streets stay safe, because the Iranian influence is not just one of striking out as a nation. They hire proxies. They put terror in place. They are willing to go other places and with some kind of plausible deniability pretend that they weren't the ones who caused bad things to happen. So yeah, we're working right now as a nation to ensure that our own streets stay safe, because there are reasons to believe that Iranian influences could be right here in America. Yesterday, as I record this, it was announced that an Iranian national who had previously served as a sniper in the Iranian army was arrested in Locust Fork, Alabama, of all places. Liberal media has immediately categorized him as just a loving husband, soon to be a father, but the Department of Homeland Security, they saw the need to detain him as someone with obvious ties to hostile actors right here in our own backyard. Nearly a dozen such Iranian nationals were swept up in a nationwide effort in the last couple of days to get illegal aliens with potential terror ties off of our streets. There was another one arrested right down the road in Mississippi. The Biden administration allowed tens of millions of illegals to flood into the country over the last 4 years. Hundreds of those are known to have been on the terror watch list, who were then released into the United States for reasons that cannot be explained. So do we have terror cells living among us? Well, the possibility certainly exists. And Border Czar Tom Homan says that he believes sleeper cells are in the United States right now. Let's not forget the 9/11 hijackers, they were living here in the United States. This is not just a breach of national security, by the way. That's a reckless disregard for national security. President Trump said yesterday the Biden administration did more damage to this country than anyone could ever imagine. Well, right now, they're sweeping up potential terror cells in the U.S., and that's really just an effort, if you will, to prevent a self-inflicted wound from occurring. Okay, I've said all this. This is a lot. I know it is. Iran is not our friend, though. Not by a long shot. They have killed our people, and they would kill more if given the opportunity. Isolation and appeasement have not worked with them. Diplomacy was not enough. Sanctions did not stop them. The Iranian leaders are radicals, and they don't respond in normal fashion. But Donald Trump is the president. He's the man of the hour. Yeah, I think he was born for such a time as this, I'll be honest. I shudder to think what the world would be like if Biden was still in the Oval Office. Iran's nuclear ambitions would be the same regardless of who had won the election. But Biden, he would have fallen asleep at the wheel while staffers use his auto pen to sign DEI proclamations and pardon murderers. In contrast, though, Trump actually canceled part of his high-profile G7 summit to return to the White House Situation Room and stay on top of some of the most dangerous and stormy times the world has ever seen. And he was the one who authorized Operation Midnight Hammer. Andrew Jackson, of whom Trump is very fond, said, "I was born for a storm and a calm does not suit me." Trump was born for storms. In fact, I think he was probably born to thread needles in storms. Trump has access to information and intelligence that no one in the world of social media influencers has. And I believe that it keeps him up all night as he works to thread the needle in stormy winds. And I don't believe that we're going to see U.S. troops on Iranian soil, but I do believe that U.S. bombs on foreign soil were needed. I do believe that we're going to see U.S. sanctions imposed heavily on Iran if they don't come around and begin to actually negotiate. What we know right now is that Trump appears to have arranged a ceasefire at this point between Israel and Iran. Some are saying that's a Nobel Peace Prize effort. Maybe so. Maybe that's the other needle he's threading in the middle of stormy winds. But these are dangerous times. Influencers and pundits and neocons and isolationists, they all have their role in social discourse. They can all have their opinions. But my prayers are for the man who threads the needle. So I'll close by saying I don't fault anybody for being concerned. It is possible to vote for Trump and not agree with everything he says or does, but I have to ask, what would have been the benefit of doing nothing? You see, that's the difference between Trump and every other president, especially Obama and Biden. Many of the previous occupants of the Oval Office, they looked with fear about the consequences of doing something. What do we do? If we do that, what scary things will happen? Well, they looked at the consequences of doing something, but Trump, he chose to look at the consequences of doing nothing. What bad things will happen if I don't take action? If I don't bring the scunion? If I don't launch Operation Midnight Hammer? And he had all that it took to make that decision. The intelligence that you and I don't even have access to, but what we do have access to is a clear indication of the fact that Iran has been killing our people for decades. Iran has been recklessly calling for death to America and claiming that as a policy of their government. And Iran has been saying things in a spiritual sense that lead us to believe that they would absolutely, absolutely not respond to normal diplomatic efforts. So yeah, Trump rewrote history, and history is going to be his judge. But I believe that history was going to treat him well over this decision to bring the scunion on Iran's nuclear ambitions. In the end, though, the news was huge. A week that cemented the ability of the people of the world to stop wondering what's going to happen if the nation that caused more death and destruction in its short 45-year history than perhaps any other had actually gotten a nuke. And there's going to be rhetoric, and there's going to be mistruths and protests, but all that's after the fact right now. What we watch with Operation Midnight Hammer, man, is like a Spectre gunship bringing the scunion. Hard, deliberative, precise, and effective. Devastating effect, and I, for one, am glad. That's my philosophy.